Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
hurry up, baby, don't be late. I'll meet you at the place. I've been waiting for this day. We can let's celebrate. Looking like a cover girl, covered in diamonds and pearls. Take the Benz out for a swirl. Drop that top, yeah, it's my world. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Looking fine, all the boys trying to get in line, headed back to VIP, so tight that
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to Off Limits. Thanks for joining me tonight. The number is 323-843-6160. Give me a call if you're interested. Things to talk about tonight. I'll get back to you in just a little bit. Thanks.
Thank you.
How you doing tonight? How's everybody doing? It is Tuesday morning, early here in Dallas, Texas. Hope you guys are having a good evening, early morning, wherever you are. If you want to call in tonight, the number is 646, sorry, what is my number? It's 323-843-6160. Feel free to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind or comment on what I'm talking about tonight. If you want to check me out, you can go to offlimitsshow.com. You can also check me out on Twitter and on Facebook. If you want to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter, that'd be great. I am talking tonight about I think not. What I mean by that is simply there are so many things that I think not about. I mean, when I say I think not, I think, you know, no, essentially. There's lots of things that I really feel strongly about that I really cannot stand, and there's things that I really cannot stand that I don't feel so strongly about. So, for example, when it comes to people who are supposed to be on your side, and I mean in your personal life or whatever, and they're supposed to be there for you when you know you need them the most, and they're not, that hurts. So I think not. And a bit of it is, you know, about generally the idea that when people are, you know, say they're going to be, they're there for you when you need them or whatever, and they're not, that's hurtful. But generally, I was thinking about people who live lives that are generally not real or fake or whatever, and a facade. And I was thinking, you know, there's so many people out there these days who live their lives this way. They live their lives accordingly, or according to how other people think they should live their lives instead of how they themselves feel they should live their life. And, you know, everyone's guilty of that from time to time because we succumb to peer pressure. We succumb to, you know, simply just the everyday turmoil of life. And most of the time we end up being, you know, kind of, we want to be the captain of your own ship, right? And, you know, the own ship in your life. And you want to be the person who controls where you're going and what happens to you and how you end up in life. And if you think about when you were a kid, you think about, you know, who did you think you were going to be? Who did you want to be when you were a child? And I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be, I remember when I was a kid, first of all, I would watch TV like L.A. Law and, you know, shows like that or shows about doctors or whatever. But I wanted to be a lawyer first. And I wanted to be a lawyer because they dealt with paperwork and it was prestigious and all the prestigious. And also, you know, they got paid well and they got to work in nice offices and wear nice clothes and have nice cars and all those things. And so, you know, when I was a kid, you know, like 7 years old, I wanted to be an attorney. And of course, as I grew up, I realized I really did not want to be an attorney because what attorneys have to do, contend with, and really it's a stressful and thankless job, really, except maybe financially, and not all attorneys are well off financially. But I certainly wanted to be someone that was well off and also someone who was happy in what he did. And so the other thing I remember as a child that I did all the time was I would always draw floor plans. You know, it was weird, but I would like 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, up until I was about 11 or so, or 12 even, I would draw floor plans just for fun, like houses, you know, like garage here, the living room here, or whatever. I would build houses with Lincoln logs. I would build houses, card houses that are out of decks, card decks. And I enjoyed that. I would even build houses out of, like, you know, when you have a fort or whatever, you build when you're a kid with sheets or whatever in your house. I would make entire houses, like rooms and rooms. So I'd have a bathroom and I'd have a, not really we use a bathroom there, but, you know, I have a bathroom area and I have a bedroom area and a living room area. So I was, so that was kind of the predecessor to, or kind of a signal of what I was going to be when I grew up and how I was going to be. And I ended up being an architect. So that's what I am now. And, you know, I love what I do for the most part. I mean, it's, you know, it's what I do very, very well. I'm very good at what I do, and I don't It's the only thing I'm immodest about in my whole life is that I'm good at what I do. In terms of the design portion, the architecture portion of things, yes. Dealing with people, not always so great, because I'm definitely someone who doesn't like to deal with assholes, and you run into a lot of assholes in this career, unfortunately, but not just with clients, but through contractors and other architects and designers or whatever. But I think that's probably in any business, you know. But my business, you know, in architecture, it is certainly something that you run into a lot, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I love what I do and I enjoy it. So I'm very fortunate in that way. And so I'm in some ways, you know, definitely living the exact life that I planned for myself as I was a kid and growing up. And I kind of stumbled into my life in a lot of ways, but I also planned a lot of it. And I went to school and got degrees and went to a master's degree program and all those things. And I wanted something. I looked in the distance, you know, in my future and said, who do I want to be? And decided that that's who I wanted to be. And I went for it and got it. So I think that it is important that people realize that if you have a goal, if you want to achieve something, if there's something you want to achieve in your life, just set a goal and go for it, and you can get it, because it's really not, I mean, it is difficult, and it can be difficult, and it can be a journey and a difficult process. However, it doesn't mean it's impossible. I don't think that anything's impossible. If you want to be something, be it. That's how I look at it. So when I started talking about the beginning, though, was that I wanted to talk about the fact that people are often not what they seem to be. And so the reason I said all that about the architecture thing and me being what I want to be is because I think that, you know, I am who I set out to be, and so I'm fortunate that way. But everybody has days where, you know, people ask you, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And you say, fine, when really you're not doing fine, but you don't want to go into all that you're really thinking and feeling at that moment. And so you just say fine because you don't want to talk about it or whatever, and just people go on. But what does fine really mean? Does it mean okay? Does it mean not okay? It doesn't really mean anything. Fine just means you're existing, in my opinion. So when you say you're just doing fine, you're just doing okay. And so when people ask you that question, can you answer the question honestly? Can you say, I'm doing great. I love my kids. I love my wife or my husband or whatever. I am very, very happy. We're financially set. We have a great house, you know, whatever the case may be. We have a vacation home, and we have great family and friends. I mean, is that something that everybody can say? No. Very few people can say all those things and honestly mean them. Usually in one part or one aspect of your life, there's something that's fucked up. It's just kind of part of being a human being. I mean, the human experience is such that you never actually have a time in your life when everything is perfect. It just doesn't happen for me. It doesn't happen for you. It doesn't happen for anybody. So there's always going to be a time in your life when you feel, what the fuck did I do to deserve this? Or wow, this part of my life is great, but this part of my life sucks, or whatever. And, you know, I'm going through that now where there's great parts of my life, there's parts of my life that suck, there's parts of my life that are wonderful. And, you know, but I always go through that. There's never been a time in my life when I've had every single category of life fulfilled completely and perfectly. So I don't think that anybody else is any different, you know. Anyway, so I think that it's something to think about, because when you're actually living your life, people often are expected to be perfect or to meet perfection and to present perfection, present a picture of themselves that may or may not be true, but typically is a washed down or washed version of themselves. It's a version that is not completely who they are, but only a portion of who they are. And of course, you don't want to let everybody know everything about yourself all the time, but you can be authentic at all times. You can always be yourself no matter what. And so it's sometimes difficult when you are pressured by your husband or your wife or your friends or family to be someone else other than who you really are. And we kind of fall into these roles where we're expected to be the good guy, expected to be the bad guy, expected to be, you know, the dependable one, or expected to be the undependable one. We always have these roles that we kind of are tagged with as we grow older and grow up. But the thing is, we're usually tagged with those as a child or a teenager or something, or very young adult. And it kind of follows you through life as you grow up and with your family and your friends that knew you younger. And even if they don't know you, if other people know you or know of you, they themselves can give you the same kind of identity and say that, oh, this person's dependable, or this person's not dependable, or this person's an asshole, this person's a snob, or whatever the case is. And in reality, you aren't any of those things anymore. Maybe at one point in your life you were those things. Maybe at one point in your life you were superficial and you didn't really have any type of understanding of what's valuable in life. But as you grow up, you grow older, if you're smart, if you're, you know, if you evolve, which most humans do through human experience, they, you know, someone who's superficial as a child will grow up to be someone who is not superficial and is actually the opposite of that. However, there's still people around them, their family or whatever, who sees them as such. So, because that's who they were as a child. So I think it's important for people to not succumb to the pressures of family or friends to make you something that you aren't or never were sometimes. People can often just give you a role that you never really were. For example, someone could say that you're the very, you know, reasonable, factual guy, and actually you're really creative, or vice versa. And yet everybody has you pegged this one way, and they don't accept you being something else. And when you go outside of that role, it makes other people uncomfortable because they expect you to be that role, that person that everybody says you are or have said that you are or they think you are, instead of seeing you as you are. And so I certainly have experience with that, and I certainly am experiencing that now with my family, or to some degree my mother, because, you know, I'm seen like, for example, this is a small example. You know, when I was younger, I wouldn't do any manual labor. Okay. I hated manual labor. I didn't like to do anything with a hammer or, you know, nothing around the house or anything like that. Anything to go outside or throw the trash out, nothing. I hated it. And so I always said to myself, when I grow up, I'm not going to do anything that's manual labor based for my job, and which I don't. I'm an architect. So I don't have to do that. I'm professional. However, in my personal life, I still like to go around the house and I like to, you know, I've laid floors in my house. I've done drywall. I've done painting. I've done electrical work, plumbing. I've done everything. And, you know, I've told people, my mother, this before. She's like, you did the floors in your house? I go, yeah. She's like, really? I was like, yeah. She's like, wow. I didn't think you would ever do anything like that. And you know, they look so good and they're so perfect and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, so it pissed me off because it's like, well, hello, I've been doing things like that for years. And she still thinks of me as the same person I was when I was 16 years old, and she doesn't see me as the person I am at 37. So I think that, you know, that's very frustrating for me, and that's just a very small example, obviously. There's much bigger picture than that, but I'm just saying that is a small example that anybody can relate to, and I'm saying that she still sees me the same way she did as a child. She hasn't looked at me and observed me and learned who I've grown into being. Instead, she's just looked at me the same way all these years. And we, you know, everybody can fall into that trap where you look at somebody you've known for a very long time in the same way and see them instead of who they are, but as who they were, because that's how you've always known them to be, or how you've put them in your mind or categorized them in your mind to be. And that can be dangerous, and not only to your relationship with that person, but also to yourself, because you are missing out on somebody that could really be great. You're seeing somebody for who they were instead of who they are. So I find that to be very annoying and very, you know, it's unfortunate, because you end up missing out on somebody that's actually standing in front of you. Instead, you're seeing them as someone that they were years ago. So I think that, you know, being somebody, whomever you are, it's like you have to be who you are in the face of the pressure of family or friends or relatives or coworkers or bosses or whatever the case is, or clients or whatever. You have to be who you are no matter what, no matter where you are. And I think that's the important lesson, because it is difficult to do that. It is difficult to be someone, to be yourself in any situation, because every situation will present different dynamics, and every situation will make you want to feel like you have to conform to the people around you, be like the people around you. You know, for example, I have different types of friends in my life that I've had, and they are, you know, some are very, very well off. Some are very not well off. Some are different races, some are different cultures or whatever. And so all of them are different in the way they relate to me. And yet I'm able to be friends with all of them because, and no matter what situation I'm in with them, I'm always the same person. So I can still mash all those friends together at a party and we can all still get along to some degree, at least me, you know, because I'm always the same person no matter where I am with them, no matter who I'm with. And so I find it sad when people have to feel like they need to be someone they're not just to please everybody else. You know, if you look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, am I really who I meant myself to be? Am I really the person that I was meant to be? Because a lot of you, including, you know, everybody listening tonight, probably can't look at themselves in the mirror and say that. You look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, I have everything that I always wanted. I'm exactly where I wanted to be. I'm exactly what I wanted to be. And, you know, and I can't say that either. I can't say every single aspect of my life is exactly what I ever wanted and hoped for, but I'm always striving for it. And I'm always trying to change it and make it better, you know? So I think that it's important to, no matter what, just continue to strive for your own idea of perfection, whatever that is. If that means having millions and billions of dollars, then that should be your goal. That means having a family. That means having friends that you love or love you, or having a house or whatever the case is. It could be anything. Everybody's definition of success is different. So I think it's important that all of us define for ourselves what success means and what it means for us to be happy and not allow other people to define that for us. And so if you go about always seeking everyone else's approval, you know, and that's something I rarely ever do. you know, that's one of the things I've never been afflicted with, is the desire to seek other people's approval, except people I'm in relationships with or whatever, or friends. But I mean, people outside of my circle, I've never really been someone to really care so much what people think about me. And that's one reason I don't have a lot of friends, is because I am very, confident in who I am and what I am. And sometimes it meshes with people and sometimes it doesn't. And I have a very small select group of friends that I'm very close to, and that's all I need and that's all I want. I don't like superficial relationships, fake relationships with someone who pretends to be your friend or not. So I am someone who is a little bit of an anomaly that way, but I think that everybody can learn from that, in that they can understand that if you can be yourself, and no matter what situation you're in, no matter where you are, who you're with, then you will always be happy and you will always consider yourself to be successful, no matter what. I'm going to take a quick break and a drink. Be right back. welcome back to the Off Limits. Thanks for joining me tonight. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Tonight, I'm just talking about nothing, really. Usually, I've got a topic. Tonight, I'm just kind of rambling. So if you want to call in, feel free. So I talked a little bit about that. So I'm going to talk now a little bit about some of the things that I think not about. So lately, there's been a lot of talk about the gay marriage thing coming up for vote. DOMA, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, being repealed in this country, hopefully. It's going up for a decision, that as well as Proposition 8 in California, both very important decisions for the gay rights movement here in the United States, because if either one of those is actually struck down, it means it has great ramifications for what the other states will or cannot do in terms of what the Supreme Court decides when they decide on those issues. So, for example, if they do strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, unilaterally and say that it is unconstitutional, that means every single state that has a law on the books about gays not being able to get married has to now allow gay marriage. So it's unlikely that that's going to actually happen, but it's a possibility. So if that does happen, great, wonderful, terrific. But if it doesn't, then it's still not the end of the road, because it means that they're going to have to decide on Proposition 8, which means if they do decide Proposition 8 is unconstitutional, then that means that all the marriages in California will now be legalized, and that also means that it is not okay to vote on the rights of gay people or the rights of minorities in this country, which it shouldn't be and isn't actually constitutionally anyway. So hopefully, one way or the other, things will look up for gay people and be able to get married all over the nation instead of just in 8 places right now. So, but I do think that, it's so ridiculous, the whole issue of gay marriage in this country. And I've talked about that before on my show long ago. I've actually had a show long, long, long time ago about gay marriage. But I think that it is certainly something that most people in the United States don't really give a shit about either way. Not most, but I'd say at least half or a little more than half don't really give a shit either way. And I think at least, 30% or a third of the country definitely want gay marriage. Actually, several polls lately have said that the majority of the country is pro-gay marriage, meaning they think gay people should be able to get legally married and have federal recognition of that marriage in this country. So the majority of people do. However, not the majority of people always vote. And it's also not just put up to a vote. So it's not put up to a vote. It's going to go through all the channels and everything. So hopefully this will pan out the way I want it to pan out and in favor of gay marriage. But it doesn't really matter, because as I've said before, I'm gay and I'm married. And anybody who is actually gay can still get married already in this country. It just won't be federally recognized, only by the state in which you're legally married in. However, there's many states now that are beginning to pass laws or try to pass laws that actually 2 places, Washington, D.C., and I think Massachusetts. I'm not sure if it's Massachusetts or another state, but they recognize gay marriages from other states. So if you get married in another state that's gay, has gay marriage, then they recognize those marriages. So you have all the rights that you would have in the other state, even though you're not living there, if you're living in the other state. So that's one way to get around it as well. So hopefully this will all pan out and things will, turn out the way that those of us who aren't complete assholes and bigots want it to be. Fortunately, we are living in 2013 and things are changing. And what I started to say a minute ago is, no matter what happens, it's going to be legal eventually, whether it's in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever. It's going to be legal nationally no matter what. It's going to happen, because people always get their rights no matter what, when they're supposed to get them, and we will. So like it or not, gay people are going to be able to get married, like it or not. But, that leads me to religion, and I've talked about religion a lot on my show as well, and how I feel about religion. I'm not a religious person, as you know, but I am somebody who thinks that there are some positive aspects to religion. Obviously, there's a good side to it, or can be. For those people who are in religion for the right reasons and not just to judge others and cast stones and aspersions or whatever, it's someone who actually believes in what they're the tenets of whatever the religion is. So, for example, if they're Christian, they actually believe in charity and giving to other people, those less fortunate, and those sorts of things. If they actually live and abide by those rules and those kinds of things, that's great. But the majority of Christians specifically are far less, you know, charitable and far more judgmental and hate-mongering and Bible-thumping and all those things. And to actually think that one has the right to, you know, decide on someone else's liberties is just ludicrous to me. It's always been a ludicrous idea. You know, everyone should be equal no matter what. I mean, that's just how I've always thought about things. I don't know if it's a genetic thing or if it's just I was, you know, born liberal-minded, my function of how I was raised or where I was raised or what, but I've always been a liberal-minded individual, and I've never understood people who are closed-minded, which to me is a conservative. You know, conservative, as I said, always wants to kind of keep and constrain things and keep things the way they are, conserve the status quo, and a liberal is open to new ideas, new ways of thinking, and open-minded, because that's what liberal means. So hopefully, well, not hopefully, the country is actually turning far more liberal than it ever has as a whole. I mean, for so many years, it's been a very conservative country, specifically since, you know, the wars, World War II in that era. But, you know, definitely Reagan, you know, really changed things in terms of the fiscal side of things. But in terms of the social morality of our country, the 50s kind of is kind of the model for a lot of conservatives. They want to live in that kind of a world where everybody lives, you know, it's all white suburbs and only white people rule, you know, the CEOs and corporations and things like that. And where people, women are in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant and always there at the beck and call of their men, and gays are not seen and never heard from and they're not known about. And, you know, all of these things that we'll never go back to in terms of our way of life in this country, conservatives seem to want to regress to that way of life. And it is absolutely evident in everything that they preach and that they say that they want for our country. And, you know, just in how they treat the president, who is liberal generally, he's actually very conservative in a lot of ways, but he's liberal compared to most conservatives today. The way conservatives, specifically Republicans, will treat the president and just try to do anything they can to make his job extremely hard, you know, it's because they do not want a black person, biracial actually he is, but a black person telling them what to do. They hate him, and they hate him because of their racism. They hate him because, not just racism, they hate him because of what he stands for, liberal, his liberal way of thinking, his democratic ideals. They hate him for all of these reasons. And so he's sort of the epitome of what they can't stand. And he is the president of the United States of America, and they hate it. So conservatives today are really, to me, just a bunch of crybabies, always crying and trying and whining about not getting their way or not ever, you know, getting what they want or whatever. And the reason that that is because their ideas and their ideals are antiquated. The world we live in now is not does not mesh with their ideas or ideals. The people, Generation X, Generation Y, and the millennials, whatever, these generations, of which I'm part, Generation X, don't care generally as a whole. Obviously, there are still conservatives in these ranks, but I'm saying as a whole, these generations are far less concerned about the idiocy of, you know, gay marriage or of, you know, a woman's right to choose and things like that don't matter because they've already been settled when we believe in these choices. Really now all these generations generally care about are things that matter, like the environment, which is far more important, and the world we live in, and poverty and hunger and education. Things that matter is what most liberal people care about today and what most Generation X, Y, and millennial, whatever, people really care about. And that's evidenced by the way they vote and the way they think and the friends that they keep company with and the diverse type of people they keep company with and the lack of bigotry comparatively to those from the conservative ranks of today and before. So I do think that the world is definitely changing and we are going to see we are already seeing a huge shift in how we are going to relate to one another as Americans. And fortunately, I think we're going to be, you know, well, much better off. The only problem is when it comes to the environment, for example, people actually are still trying to debate whether it's even true, global warming or climate change, whatever you want to call it, is even true. When that's the thing about conservatives is that they don't have any reverence for science. They only have reverence for religion, and that's it. And religion, you know, to me is superstition. That's all it is. It's not based on anything factual. It's all about faith and about what one believes. It's not based on what one knows and what can be proven. And that's the difference between science and religion. And I think that more liberal people are far more aligned with science than are conservatives who are far more aligned with religion. It's not to say there aren't people who are conservative that are scientific or people who are liberal who are also religious, but as a whole, I think most of these people are, you know, that way. And I think it makes a huge difference in how people vote and what we feel are the most pressing issues. And that's why we're always at odds with one another, because we have two completely separate ideas about what is important in this world. And, you know, I think even someone who is religious, though, can agree about scientific issues. You know, a lot of religious people believe in evolution. A lot of religious people don't. A lot of religious people know that the sun is yellow. I mean, the sun is a star and that the earth revolves around the sun. But there are also religious people who believe that the earth is only 5,000 years old and that we walked with dinosaurs. So, I mean, it's ludicrous to me, people who feel that way and think that way, because it's obvious that that is simply not true through science. As I've said before, people accept that the sky is blue and the grass is green and that there's chlorophyll in the grass and the sky is blue because of the rays and the oxygen, nitrogen, whatever, mixing together. That's why those things are the way they are. And these religious people accept those scientific facts, but they don't accept the fact that evolution is real, or that the earth is more than 5,000 years old, or that global warming is real. And so it really irks me when you try to have any kind of an argument or debate or any kind of disagreement or any kind of just discussion with someone who is an evangelical Christian, because all they do and all they see is based on their religion and not based on facts. You can't argue with a crazy person, and I mean you can't have a discussion, a real discussion, with someone who's nuts. And to me, someone who is an evangelical Christian is nuts, because I've never encountered one who isn't. So that's what I think. Got to get another drink. I'll be right back.
Oh, whatever you want. You're so fucking special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong in a cozy little restaurant for lovers. It seems so out of place for you and me. We used to play around under the covers, but now it's just a place to watch TV. So love me like you used to when our love was brand new. And darling, when
in your smile. businesswoman. I'm a businesswoman, and I'm known for giving bitches to businesswoman.
Bitch.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.